I don't know if you know this, OG, but we've got swag.
Well, one of us does.
Well, of course you do know it. You're wearing it. Look at you.
Oh, you're talking about this.
I'm talking about the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Looking to rock your 2017 with Stacky Benjamin swag. Got five different designs. Our partners over at Flying Pork Apparel. Those guys will take care of you. Head to stackybenjamins.com/shirts. stackybenjamins.com/shirts, and you can get yours too.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Live from Joe's mom's half-finished basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey there, investors. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and on today's show, we're going to help you get the ball rolling on your investing strategy. Please help Joe and OG welcome CBS business analyst and host of the new Better Off podcast, Jill Schlesinger. Also, we share a headline about millennials and income. We save someone by throwing out the Haven Lifeline, answer your letters, and still have time for the best part of the show, my trivia. Here they are, two guys who are ready to rock and roll your hump day. Or do they want to hump your rock and roll day? Probably both. Joe and OG.
I'll go with option number one.
And yes, I am drinking wine already.
It is a long day. When OG, first thing in the morning, OG walks down to the basement with a glass of wine.
Wine down Wednesdays.
Let's fire this thing up. Hey, everybody. I am Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And lubricated and ready to go across the card table
locked
from me.
And ready to rock.
It's the.
I think I'm going to pick number two.
It's the other guy. The way, yeah. Yeah, you're going to hump the rock and roll day.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Hey, and you know, another way to get your Wednesday rocking is to head to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. That's probably the third way, isn't it? Because when you head to Magnify Money, here's what happens. You save $450 on your credit card strategy, on your checking account, on your savings account, on getting your debt in order. stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. We look at every single purchase from a million different ways, except those financial products that we use to actually buy things, right? Yep. We'll look at everything we buy 500 times. We'll compare it. We'll contrast it. But the checking account, yeah, it's got some little fees. Big deal. Those fees add up, man. stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. The number one place, by the way, when it comes to student loan refinancing and getting your consolidation loan together, that's SoFi, spelled S-O-F-I. stackybenjamins.com/SoFi. is the place to go when you are sick and tired of high interest rates and by having a partner who doesn't really care about you. These guys not only will help you with your debt, but they call the people they work with members and not suckers, but members, right? And they treat you like members. They go around the country. They have these events, these networking events to help you with your career. And if you don't have a career, if you're between jobs, they'll help you find a job. I mean, just amazing resources at SoFi, stackybenjamins.com/SOFI. And if you use our link and you're going for a personal loan or you're going for a student loan refinance, they will throw in an extra $100. So we start off the show by giving people $550 extra, OG. But guess what? We got Jill Schlesinger from CBS and from, of course, Jill on Money Radio Show. She has a brand new podcast called Better Off. And she's coming down to the basement to say hello. So always excited to have Jill on.
And from CBS, nevertheless.
How about that, huh? From CBS to mom's basement.
That's quite the step.
I know.
Don't know if it's up or down.
not quite sure. But we got some amazing headlines. So let's move.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's headlines.
First headline comes to us from the Associated Press. This is a little disturbing. Millennials falling behind boomer parents. It says, baby boomers, your millennial children are worse off than you. With a median household income of $40,581, millennials earn, get this number. This surprised me, OG.
20%
less.
Bingo. I knew it.
Than boomers did at the same stage of life, despite being better educated according to a new analysis of Federal Reserve data by the advocacy group Young Invincibles. You know, it's funny. I'll link to this on our show notes. But I think the big thing is, and what I really want to talk about from this article is that, you know, sometimes people write me letters asking, why do you guys talk about like making more money sometimes, or talk about careers, or have like Suzanne Lucas on with HR? And it's because you can only shrink the budget so far, OG.
Oh, yeah. So it costs X dollars to heat your house.
Right.
I always think it's kind of funny when they'll say, put the things on the TV or whatever. They'll say, you know, if you turn your thermostat down a degree, that'll save you 3% or whatever the number is. And you go, okay, 3%. But it's like $3. I mean, I get, okay, yep, $3. Hey, every dollar helps.
Absolutely.
And when you're cutting things, sometimes that's the best way to do that, is to find all those nickels and dimes, because they add up to dollars, right? But you're right. At some point, you can only cut it so far. And that's when it comes into, you know, earning extra money through the side hustle deal.
Which is unlimited, right? I mean, the amount of extra money you make in theory is unlimited. It's a blue sky. You have unlimited opportunities to try to make more money. That's really where the magic happens. It's funny. How many times have you met with people where they've come in to meet with you and, you know, they're like, something's got to be wrong in my budget because we just can't save money. And you look through it with them, and man, I mean, they're using the right apps. They have a tight budget. Sure, maybe they're spending an extra dollar here, extra dollar there. But I don't know. I can't. I had a million times. I would look across the table at somebody. I go, you know, I think this is an income problem.
Yeah.
I think we just got to find ways to make more money.
Do you think a lot of this millennial baby boomer issue at this stage in life, so to speak, has to do with wage growth and how it's been pretty non-existent? Also, at the same time, inflation has been pretty non-existent. So there hasn't been, you know, that's kind of a drum that gets beat quite a bit. Like, well, real wage numbers are the same as they were 8 years ago. So there hasn't been a lot of real wage growth, but there hasn't been a necessity for that because inflation's pretty tame. Is there more to this?
I don't know. I like keeping the podcast on things that we can control. And the frustrating thing for me is I don't like the way that any government, not just the U.S. government, looks at inflation, because I look at the last 8 years and we've supposedly had none. Sure feels more expensive to me, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'm not suggesting that how the government, and by the way, talking about keeping the podcast and things that you can control, my friend, since when do you think you control anything? You and I both know that Doug's in charge.
I had no idea where you were going with that.
Like, to the only possible outcome. That's where I was going with that.
Did you see, by the way, it was his birthday last weekend and we didn't mention it once.
Oof.
Yeah.
We barely mentioned mine, if I remember.
No, you brought it up like, I think like 17 and a half thousand times. Yeah.
Well, we'll see when yours comes around, how many times it gets mentioned.
I'll find a way to slip it in. Did I tell you I went to Asia recently?
Yeah, on your birthday even. Yeah. Shocking.
Yeah.
did you tell us you went to Asia? Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have heard that once or twice.
But anyway, so
derailed.
Yeah.
Derailed.
Back to the topic. I think that when people question why a money podcast wants to focus on careers and on making more money, it's because having a great tax strategy makes a ton of sense. Working on your budget makes a bunch of sense, like Holly and Greg talked about Monday with us. I mean, their zero-sum budget is fantastic. I really like that type of a budget. Makes a ton of sense to me. But making more money solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, the reality is that if your budget is even money right now and you make $500 extra, think about it like a business. You talk about this all the time. Think about like your life like a business. Where does that money go from the top line? If all the expenses are fixed, boom, goes right to net profit.
Yep, falls
right to the bottom line. Way to the bottom line.
Yeah.
So every dollar above your budget number is pure profit, so to speak.
And in lieu of having a second headline, guess what we've got, OG? We have our friends Matilda and Devin from the Big Picture Retirement Podcast. They're going to help us learn a new French phrase. Let's listen.
Cool. Bonjour. Welcome to French Made Easy with me, your host, Mathilde. Today, I'm joined by certified financial planner Devin Carroll, and together we will share a popular and simple French phrase so you too can use it in your own life. Sound easy? Sure. Today's phrase is valuable when you see a man named Henry. Say this. Henry, your discount double check motion is making the ladies uncomfortable in this restaurant. In French, you would say this popular phrase just like this. Henri, ton geste de promo double check rend les femmes mal à l'aise dans ce restaurant. Once again, Henri, ton geste de promo double check rend les femmes mal à l'aise dans ce restaurant. Now, let's hear certified financial planner Devin Carroll try it. Ready, Devin?
Here we go. Henri, ton mouvement de réduction double check rend les femmes mal à l'aise dans ce restaurant.
Perfect. See how we sound almost exactly alike? You too can speak French easily and comfortably listening to Stacking Benjamins. See you next time. Au revoir.
Almost exactly alike. So amazing.
Discount double check is making people uncomfortable.
Wouldn't that motion make women uncomfortable in a French restaurant?
I have a feeling like I'm going to be using a lot of these phrases in Paris when I'm with my mom.
Your upcoming trip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Since we name dropped trips all of a sudden. Yes.
I'm like, did I tell you to go to Europe coming up? Yeah. Big thanks to Devin Carroll and his new podcast. The congratulations, by the way, on his launch of his brand new podcast, The Big Picture Retirement. One of two friends of ours that started podcasts recently, of course, Philip Taylor, PT from FinCon, has his Masters of Money podcast that
launched.
I never
heard of him. Was
also,
he?
We have no idea. Way to go, PT. So I think the lesson is don't make the discount double check motion in a French restaurant because you'll make people uncomfortable.
The ladies uncomfortable.
Number two, focus on your budget and on tax planning, your investments, like we're going to talk about with Jill coming up. But you know what?
Top line.
More income. People have asked me for a long time, OG, what my favorite podcast is. And it's funny because it isn't even really a podcast. It's a simulcast of her radio show. They tape it and you can get it wherever you listen to podcasts. And that's the show Jill on Money, where she takes call-ins. She listens to people's questions. She not only does that, she also is a business analyst for CBS News, which means you'll see her often. I see her all the time on CBS This Morning. And also on CBS Sunday Morning. Of course, she's on the evening news from time to time, but you'll reliably see her on those two. And as if she's not doing enough, she has her personal financial planning practice. And get what else she does? She now has a brand new podcast called Better Off, which we're going to talk to her about a little bit today. But mostly, we're going to talk to her about something we don't get to talk about enough, which is the very basics. What do beginners have to know about investing? So here to help us with that, let's welcome down to the basement our friend Jill Schlesinger. For a triumphant return in the basement, Jill Schlesinger joins us. Pull up a chair, Jill. How you doing?
I am great. How about you?
Well, better now that you're here. And, you know, mom loves Jill Schlesinger, so we love Jill Schlesinger. So
the mothers love me. That's the deal. Mothers always love me.
What is it about that? Because you just seem to be the person that, like you said, every mother loves and people love your radio show. What is it about that?
That's a good question. I think that basically I talk pretty normally, even though I'm sort of steeped and come from financial services, that I don't use jargon, that I really try to talk to people and respect them, whether they have tons of history with the material or not, and try to treat everyone with respect. And generally, I am not a very judgmental person. So people will call up the radio show. And whether they've been complete screw-ups or not, it kind of doesn't matter to me. I don't look back. I don't try to say, why did you do that? I just say, okay, this is where you are today. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, because you can't go back and take the past back.
Nope, cannot. And so we might as well deal with where we are today.
Right. We're going to talk about the basics of investing today. And I'm wondering if you remember your first investment, what it was?
I know what my first investment was, and it really wasn't my first investment. It was made for me. I owned shares in Allied Stores, which is a department store chain, because my grandfather was the CEO of that company, and we had shares gifted to us. So that's how we started following. My sister and I both started to sort of understand what stocks were. My dad was a trader, so he wasn't into holding on to anything too long. So he was not one of these people who's like, your grandfather gave you this stock. You should hold it forever. He said, we're going to trade this stock and I'm going to write options against this stock. And that's how I'm going to teach you about this stuff, girls. And that's what he did.
I'm surprised you stayed with it. Did your dad talk to you a lot about money and how things happen? I'm thinking about Clark Howard told us a story, Jill, about he and his dad sitting at the breakfast table, and dad just, you know, he's always peering over the stock charts, and Clark said, "What is that?" And before he knew it, dad's given him an education.
Well, you have to understand, my father was an options trader in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, you know, money and talking about this stuff, that was just like what your dad did for a living. And so nobody knew about this stuff. When I was a kid 125 years ago, nobody knew the word trader. When I used to say my dad's a trader on the floor, people would say he works in flooring. And no, he doesn't. But my dad was a trader first on the New York Stock Exchange, then on the American Stock Exchange when they started trading options. And so we talked about money a lot. It was very much demystified. It's why I think I have no judgment around money. I actually don't think it's that interesting to have tons of money, except for the fact that it buys you freedom. So I don't really like money for money's sake, but I do like things that money can allow you in your life.
It's funny because new investors pick investments in random ways, either gifted stuff like you were, or, you know, they just pick something because, as you've heard before, the person next to them says, this is a great deal. Like, you know, it's pets.com and it's $19.99. What could go wrong? What's the concept if I'm new and I'm afraid of dipping my foot in the water that I really need to know before any other concept, Jill?
The most important concept that you need to know is that you don't have to beat the market, and you're probably not going to beat the market over the long term, and that doesn't matter. You can be an incredibly successful investor by just doing a few things right. And, you know, we just launched this new podcast. It's called Better Off. And I named the show Better Off because I feel like so many people think that they're going to, like, you know, it's not how to be rich, how to do this. It's about how can you make your life, how can you better your life? And one of the ways that you can better your life when it comes to investing is to stop making it so complicated. And, you know, the financial services industry is one that is very tricky. It can, you know, I come from it. I love it. It's sort of like my drunk relative who I love very much, but it's just awful when it's, you know, drinks too much. You know, I really think it's important to remember that these companies, by and large, are not there to do right by you. What they're there to do is make money for them. So you have to be very careful about how you proceed. And my favorite way to invest right now is to say to everybody, okay, you got to figure out the cheapest way to get you where you want to go. The cheapest way is passive investing. That means buy an index fund. It's really cheap to own. That means buy a target date fund from a fund house that has very low fees, or that means working with a robo-advisor that has really cheap fees. Something that can basically get you started and move forward. And so you don't have to think about trying to mess around with it, because by and large, when we mess around with our investments, we screw it up.
But, you know, you talk about fees. Is that the dragon that I start with? Because people, you know, they get themselves in knots going, okay, you just gave me three choices, a passive investment, a target date fund, a robo-advisor. Like, which one of those is best for somebody who's brand spanking new?
I think that it really depends if you're brand spanking new and you want to, you're going to buy into the idea of passive investing with any of these options. So if I have somebody who just calls up and says, hey, I'm starting, what do I do? I'd say, okay, let's figure out, what are your options? Do you have a 401k at work? Let's say you don't, because, you know, you're in a gig job, you don't have a 401k.
Yeah.
So let's now say, okay, what's the next thing? All right, I'm going to open up a Roth IRA. That's the first thing, is I got to open an account somewhere. I'm going to save for retirement because that's easy. Where can I open a Roth IRA where I have a very low amount of money to start? So my biggies that, you know, I tend to tout just because they have cheap fees would be at a Vanguard or a T. Rowe Price, or even a TD Ameritrade, because they have very low minimums. And you open that account up and you say, okay, for $25 or $50 every single month, I can buy a target date fund, which basically just aligns with your date of retirement. Or I could buy two index funds, a bond index fund and a stock index fund. Kind of a, you know, depends on how much you're starting with. Those are two really good choices, and you can do it. And if you want kind of like the no sweat approach at all, is that you can go to a robo-advisor, you can go to a Betterment or a Wealthfront or to a rebalanceira.com and say, I just want to invest a certain amount of money. Maybe it's a, you know, again, a small amount. I want you to fill out a risk profile questionnaire online. I want to kind of set it and forget it and go away. And so the starting off person may have lots of different ways that they want to approach it, but all these things in essence are the exact same thing. How can I automate my investing so that I take that human lure of trying to mess around with what I've got? And that to me is, you know, you don't have to do one versus the other. It's really about how involved you want to get and what you think you want to do going forward.
So it's all based on your goal then and work backwards.
Yeah. I mean, Look, for some people doing, and I should mention, full disclosure, Betterment is the sponsor of my podcast.
Right.
But I just want to be clear that, you know, for some people, if you look at, say, I'm going to pay Betterment and say, I want to pay them this because I really don't want to be involved. I want there to be some sort of process by which a machine, a platform can just deal with this for me. That's one kind of approach. Another approach would be, I'm more of a do-it-yourselfer. I want to have my hand in this a little bit. I do want to start adding different kinds of funds to the mix. That kind of person may be better off just going to Vanguard and starting the process of educating him or herself and then really taking that on. So it really depends on your personality in terms of what you think you want down the road.
If somebody is a do-it-yourselfer, Jill, and they want to research, I mean, I love third-party research, but where are some of your favorite places to go and kind of get your hands dirty and dig into how these different things work?
I think a lot of people start with like the micro instead of the macro. So I think that the first thing that I could recommend is that you have to start educating yourself on basic economic premises, right? And that is something where you may not actually have to read the Wall Street Journal every single day, but you have to involve yourself in something that is going to at least give you entree to that. And so that could be anything from a website. It could be Fool.com. I think those guys do a really nice job. But that could be also like NerdWallet, where they're doing research and giving you a way to absorb it in an easier way. You've got to start somewhere and start to say, well, what are the things that I need to know? Do I understand the basics of what investing really means? Is it important for me to really dive deep into an individual company? Probably not. Is it important for me to understand how a bond works? Yes, that is very helpful. That is something that will make you smarter and make you feel more in control of the way you manage your money.
You're on CBS News. You work a radio show. You have the podcast. You have a full-time job. Like, yes. I don't know where you find the time, Jill, but being somebody who's on CBS News, should we pay attention to this, to the CNBC clatter, you know, the Jim Cramer, bam, 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 sell, sell, sell? Should we, if I'm a brand new investor, how much credence do I pay to that stuff?
First of all, I think Jim is like an amazing showman, and he really is. And he's a great guy, very nice man, happens to be married to somebody I know pretty well. And I would say that with all due respect to him, that's a lose-lose proposition for you because, you know, you're going to get sucked into do something stupid. Even if you do something smart in a minute, it's going to be for about a minute. Look, I come from this world. I find watching any of those financial networks tedious. And you get a bunch of folks who come out and are kind of touting what they do, but they don't know anything. It's funny. I just put an interview with my friend James Altucher in the can for the podcast. And you know, this is a guy who was on CNBC. This is a guy who is a serial entrepreneur, a hedge fund guy, right? And I loved his quote to me. And he said, those guys on CNBC don't know anything. They're not willing to say they don't know anything, but they don't know anything. And I think that that's something that you have to remember that as you, you know, again, to just school yourself, to educate yourself, those are not the places where you're going to get a real education. I'd like to think that, you know, we do a great job at CBS because, you know, they have someone like me or Melody Hobson or Anthony Mason when he used to do it, telling you what you need to know, how it's going to really impact your life, not what the best stock is or what you should do about oil this day. It's more about like, what are you going to do that you can control in your own life? I mean, let's be honest, the investing side of your life is a sliver. And by the way, if you, again, if you can just be a passive investor, keep your fees down, no, don't make big mistakes in terms of trading, then the rest of your financial life, the things that are in your control, that is going to determine your success. To me, I could give two rats that you made 10 or 12% in a given year. What I do care about is that you're maxing out your retirement account. So the first, you know, sort of do no harm is like, don't get sucked into that. Make sure you've got your basics. So you just ask, like, what do I do if I'm an investor? I get really upset when I hear from somebody who says, I want to start investing. And I'm like, okay, tell me about yourself. All right, I'm 28 years old. I've got 20 grand in credit card debt. I have no money in the bank and I'm not using my retirement plan at work. Okay, you're not investing. You just can't. You have got to be able to pay down that consumer debt, be debt-free on that level. You can have some student loans. You've got to have 6 to 12 months in an emergency reserve fund. And tell me that you're maxing out your retirement plan at work. And I don't mean just maxing out to your employer's match. I mean, you can put 18 grand a year in your 401k, your 403b. Tell me you're doing that before you start asking me about what you should do about investing on the side. Once those three pieces are complete, I feel a little bit better about it.
If I'm, this is my last question, but if you're out there looking for a financial advisor, what's the question that, because you hear these questions all the time, right, Jill? What's the question that never gets asked of potential financial advisors, but people should ask if they're thinking about hiring somebody to be in their corner?
Well, number one, you know, I'm a former financial advisor. Some might say a recovering financial advisor, right? So I'm still a CFP and I maintain that designation. I love being a CFP. So why do I love that? Because I know that if I'm working with someone who's a CFP or a CPA PFS, that person is a fiduciary. So the most important word that you can ask or the most important question that you can ask when you start a relationship or just start an interview is you start the interview, you look in the person's eyes and you say, are you a fiduciary? What does that mean? That means that the advisor has to put your interests before his or his company's. The fact that if someone is not held to the fiduciary standard, is there going to be a big fight about this in the new administration because there's some rules that went into effect, that are supposed to go into effect in April that may or may not at this point. But if someone is not willing to basically, by the regulatory standard, put your interests first, then I wouldn't work with that person. Yes, I know people who are, but you're going to get hate mail about this and so will I because I... If you're not a fiduciary, that does not mean that someone's trying to rob you blind.
Right.
Okay. So let me be clear. So you insurance guys and gals out there, don't write in. But what is clear to me is that we have to help consumers understand who by, you know, statute is on their side. This is the only profession I know, and maybe that's why it's not seen as such a high-class profession, where you can have a bunch of people who do business with the public who don't have to put the public first. And I find that to be a real negative when it comes to financial advice. So everyone who talks about, you know, all these big firms, they talk about financial advice and how you have to carve your own way. They should be big boys and girls and all be willing to say, hey, you know what? We're going to make sure everything's in your best interest. We're going to do that. In fact, we're going to pledge to do that. We're going to do that because we're all going to register to be fiduciaries. If they're not, then I go down the street and find someone who does. Doesn't mean that's going to be a great advisor, but my single most important question is, are you a fiduciary?
Awesome. Well, Jill, as usual, you did Mom proud. The new podcast is called Better Off with Jill Schlesinger. It's like Jill with the gloves off. How great is it to no longer have some of the handcuffs of radio, and now you can do whatever you kind of want.
Although I'll tell you, you know, I'd love to curse on it, but I really can't because, you know, that's not nice. And it's probably, I'd violate my contract with CBS and the standards, but you know, I'm a former trader. I have a filthy mouth. So, you know, my goal in life is to somehow, you know, get on Howard Stern's show and not be held to my standards clause, but that would be great. But I didn't do it here. I could have 10 different times.
Oh, that's funny. Is it, so your goal in life was really not to have this new podcast. It was to become a trucker.
I could be. I could be any, you know, anything where I can drop F-bombs that and every different part of speech, you know, like an adverb, an adjective, a noun. It doesn't matter. It's like, you know, it's any way that I could sort of sprinkle that in. My family thinks it's hysterical that I have so far, and I say, cross my fingers, I hope this never happens, but so far I have managed to avoid cursing on live television, which, you know, sometimes is really hard for me.
That's funny. In the days when I did local TV in Detroit, my friends would always say, you, like, how, you're the guy that could never be on TV. How do you clean it up that much? I can't believe it. Tell us though about Better Off. So what's the goal of the show? What's it all about, Jill?
this is really a show that is not unlike you. It's basically to kind of help people break down financial concepts. I like to say it's unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and your life. Our first episode, we had David Bach on. You know that guy? He's the automatic millionaire dude.
I know that dude.
Okay, so that dude is like updated his book. Like, I got into it with him about the latte factor. Like, I just don't buy that. I don't buy that as a concept. Like, oh, stop drinking lattes and you'll be a millionaire. It's like ridiculous, right? So that's the kind of guest that I'll have on. I also am doing something a little bit different, which is I'm taking some aspects of my radio show and we are going to have call-ins. So if anyone wants to come on the show, you can just shoot us an email, askjill@betteroffpodcast.com, or you can call me anytime, 855-411-JILL. And it's going to be fun. I mean, I think that from my perspective, having a podcast is a little bit different than a radio show because I think that I can really listen to people and get feedback and change things up very quickly. And I do love that. And I really appreciate inviting me on here and letting me talk a little bit more about the show.
Well, and I know if Jill's going to be there, fun is the operative word because I don't think you do it if it's not fun. So.
That's absolutely true. And you know, I will say one last thing about all of this stuff. I know that there's more than just investing and counting your pennies. Some of the guests that we are going to have on the show are not even going to be financial people. They're going to be people who can help you with your career because I feel like, you know, one of the biggest investments you can make is in yourself, your human capital. And the return on that is a far greater dividend than what you could earn on one fund versus another fund in any given year.
Oh my God. Long-term listeners know how I feel about that, which is right. Exactly. 100% the same. The show once again is Better Off. I'll have links to that if you're walking the dog or you're driving to work on our show notes at stackybenjamins.com. Jill Schlesinger, thanks for hanging out.
Hey, thanks so much, Joe. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, trivia fans. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And before I get to today's trivia, I've actually got some pretty bad news. I was trying to get money for my rent to Joe's mom, which is weird because I don't even live here. She actually calls it a nuisance payment, whatever that is. But I got to get it to her before midnight, and I couldn't find a place last night that was open to get cash. Well, there was actually this one place. They said they offered 24-hour banking, but really, who's got that kind of time? So instead, I'm taking a break from calling phone psychics. By the way, how come they don't know I'm calling? They should be answering the phone saying, hey, Doug, I was waiting for your call. Anyways, that's a different story. I'm taking a break to deliver your trivia. Here it is. While banks offer FDIC insurance on your money and credit unions offer NCUA insurance, what insurance do you have on your investments in a brokerage account? I'll have the answer in just a moment.
I'm so excited to have two sponsors that we really love that are super helpful to so many people. Our first is Magnify Money. Check them out at stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money. And if you're somebody like a lot of us that didn't get an education about money in school, well, guess what? Magnify Money will not only help you compare your checking, your savings, and your credit cards, they also have a graduate guide. What's a graduate guide? Well, Nick Clements, CEO of Magnify Money, told us what it's all about.
Right. Well, we went out and we pulled recent college graduates who are about 5 years out and said, what are your biggest regrets? And some of their biggest regrets were not handling their student loans right away when they got out of school, organizing them and finding out the best way to pay and manage that going forward. And another was just not learning enough about their personal finances. And so what we've done is based upon the regrets of people who graduated 5 years ago, we put together a checklist so that as long as you follow that list, you at least will not have the regrets, the same regrets that these people have.
There it is. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money for you or the graduate in your life to get an education about getting their financial house in order. And if you've listened to the show before, you know I'm also excited about our second sponsor, SoFi. That's S-O-F-I. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi to check them out. And I've said in the past that you're not going to beat the interest rate on a student loan or on personal loans or mortgages outside of SoFi. However, I've also said you need a high credit score. What is a high credit score? And how does SoFi look at your credit? We asked Dan Macklin over at SoFi how it works.
So there's no absolute minimum that we have, but generally if you're in the 700s and above, then you have a great chance of being approved. But credit score is not the only thing we're looking for. There's a variety of measures, but it's one of them.
So even though it's not the only thing they look at, it's an important qualifier. So clean up your credit and then head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi when you're ready to get your mortgage, refinance your debt through a personal loan, or look at those student loans to get the interest rate down to something more manageable.
Okay, so here's your delightful trivia answer. I asked you earlier, if banks have FDIC insurance and credit unions have NCUA insurance, what insurance do you have on your investments in a brokerage account? While you actually have no insurance against investment results, you may have insurance on the firm or a broker mishandling your money. The insurance is called SICC insurance. Check with your investment company to ensure this is on your account. I'd be surprised if it weren't. See ya.
Another great one there for brand new investors.
Yeah, if there's like fraud or something like that, you get some.
Yes, but people
you get some protection.
But people think SIPC covers like I lost some money. Don't I have that insurance? Yeah, you know. Nah, that was your own thing. So big thanks to Jill Schlesinger. I like the fact that she says that you should read, you should listen to podcasts, you should learn about money. But even though she likes Jim Cramer as a person, I love that part of the interview, didn't you? Loves Jim Cramer as a person, she's like, that is just trash. Like, I do not pay any attention to that stuff.
There's got to be so many people that do, though, right?
There's got to, because whenever he says stuff, I mean, there's the Cramer effect, right? You see markets go up and down whenever he mentions anything. So people do follow it, which is scary. I like watching it, by the way. I do like watching Cramer, but I watch it as entertainment because he, like Jill said, he's so entertaining.
And he is smart too. I mean, obviously he was a hedge fund guy and all.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart, right? So wicked smart. He's wicked smart, man. You know, he'll have good guests on. You don't have to agree with his conclusions, but there's a lot of data points there.
There are. It's interesting, fun show, but like Jill said, I love what she said there.
Get your popcorn ready.
I know. Do not put your hand anywhere near the trade button. Especially, I mean, you shouldn't do it ever, 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 but especially if you're a new investor, because that's the theme of Jill being on, especially if you're a new investor, learn to discount all. And I think that is a trap that new investors run into, though. Like, you're like, oh, I want to start paying attention to my money. I'm going to watch CNBC. You watch CNBC.
I have to. They're telling you you're supposed to trade, right? I mean, so I should probably sell this and buy this again. And
you watch CNBC or Fox Business for 45 minutes. If you're brand new to the investing game, you are lost. Like, yeah. I can just imagine. You're like, wow, what, huh?
I'm lost now when I watch that stuff.
I got no idea. I barely barely even know how to do this podcast. How do I do that? That's a difficult thing. Hey, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline to tackle some of life's, or rather, life insurance's most important questions. Our friends over at Haven Life Insurance Agency, guess what they're doing, OG?
Reinventing life insurance.
Oh, yeah. They are disrupting the life insurance industry.
Yes.
By focusing on those two things you value most, your family and your time. And it's why they've created an affordable term life insurance policy you can purchase entirely online without a medical exam. Here's how you get there. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/Haven Life now to learn more about life insurance the modern way. Tell you what I like about that site. I can't stand these rules of thumb when it comes to life insurance. It's like something as important for your family as life insurance. Why would you have a rule of thumb? Haven Life instead gives you two different numbers. Like they tell you, hey, okay, based on what you said, it's got to be between here and here. Mm-hmm. And I love that because, as you know, there is no one set number, but there definitely is a range, and they give you the range. Hey, you want to pick between here and here. You want to be safer, but pay a little more. You're going to be over here on the, you know, on this side. You want to have the bare minimum. Don't buy less than this. So stackingbenjamins.com/Haven Life. Let's throw out the Haven Lifeline today to our brand new friend, Jennifer. Say hello, Jennifer.
Hey guys, I enjoy listening to your show. My question to you is, would it make sense to open an IRA in order to avoid paying taxes on my tax return? My husband and I noticed that we may be liable for taxes this year, and I'm just wondering if it would be a good idea to move that towards a retirement account instead of paying taxes to the government. Thanks so much.
Wonderful question, Jennifer. Thanks for the question.
Love it. Yep. This is a great, great time of the year for this question.
And I'll tell you, the first thing I think of is that scene from Princess Bride, where it's, I don't think that means what you think it means. Like, this doesn't work the way that, Jennifer, you hope it works, even though the answer is yes. Putting money in a deductible IRA, if you are eligible, can give you some tax relief.
Yeah, you just took all the wind out of my sails, but that's cool. Yeah, I mean, you're the wind beneath my wings, Joe. And also, the reason it's beneath my wings now is because you took it out of my sails.
Are we about to have our Titanic moment?
Which part? The drawing part or the car part?
The...
And who's the drawer? That's what I want to know.
I was thinking the one where you and I are on the front of the ship, but that's a whole different.
Like you're not
impressed. I'm not going for the two that you went for. Man, you reached deep, if you know what I mean. Anyway,
so, Jennifer.
Sorry, Jennifer.
Doesn't work this way. Exactly. Just like Joe said. It's say you owe the IRS $2,000 and you think, well, I'll just put $2,000 in my IRA and boom, even Steven. Nah, not exactly. You're going to get about a third to 40% off, so to speak, depending on your tax bracket and all those other sorts of calculations there. But if you put $2,000 in an IRA, you might reduce your tax bill by $600 or $700, which isn't bad, but it's not a dollar for dollar type of offset. And then the other thing that I think is really important, Joe, you mentioned this, is you have to be eligible for this. A lot of times people look at that and go, well, I'll just put money in an IRA. But to be eligible for a deductible IRA, kind of the run-of-the-mill traditional IRA, you have to meet some guidelines. You have to earn only a certain dollar amount. If you make too much and or have a, and the big one is if you have a plan offered to you at work, you're ineligible. So even if you didn't participate in it, you're going to be ineligible. But there's spousal benefits and so on and so forth that you could look up. If you're not working, but your spouse is, you know, you have an option of some deductible IRAs as well. So there are some rules there. If you're working on your taxes, a great thing to do, if you're kind of TurboTax or something like that, plug the number in. Just put in $2,000 and see what it does to your tax return. You'll see the exact impact right away.
Great question, Jennifer. And if you have a question also for the Haven Lifeline, we could throw it out to you. Head to stackybenjamins.com/voicemail. We are running quick. Jennifer gave us that, by the way, as we record this 3 days ago. So We are right on top of it right now. So great time to ask questions to the Haven Lifeline, as we have definitely caught up. While I told people that we were way behind. I think that we tell people we're way behind and they, you know, they're like, oh,
let off the gas.
Yeah. I don't want to wait.
I don't want to wait in the queue forever.
Yeah. And I noticed that always happens. I tell people, hey, we don't have any, and we get a slew, and then I'm like, oh, it's going to take us 2 months to get through them. And then next thing you know, I'm back to nothing. So maybe I should just stop doing that.
We don't have any.
We also get letters, and that barrel also is fairly low. This letter came to us from Julie. I've heard a lot lately. I don't own one. Do you own an Amazon Echo?
I do not. No, I'm not. I'm ineligible to buy one because I bought too many.
Yes. We bought a bunch of gifts.
And during the holiday season, Amazon had a limit on them. You could only buy two.
Yes. And so you had to buy a couple. I had to buy a couple. Kathleen had to buy a couple. We had to have...
And sorry, everybody who didn't get one. We just ran out of allotment from Amazon. Yeah,
that's right. But Julie writes, she said she got an Echo Dot about a month ago. And when I tried to ask Alexa to play Stacking Benjamin, she said it didn't work. She was able to play it on the Echo Dot through TuneIn when she searched on the phone, not voice command. Now, I have heard that you can say, Alexa, play Stacking Benjamins on TuneIn. And it will do that as long as you specify TuneIn. But anyway, so she was able to play it on TuneIn. But then she said, however, I tried the voice command again today, just saying Stacking Benjamins, and it worked. I'm not sure if it's because I already pulled the station up on the phone or if something changed. She said, I just thought you might like to know. So love to hear from other people if you own an Amazon Echo, if you're just getting Stacking Benjamins. Let us know your experience. Does it work? Does it not work? That'd be great to know. She said she thought we'd like to know, and she said it was part of a Christmas present, or she would have put something up in the green room or Facebook group. Thanks to Julie. How about that? We made your job easy today. Nothing to answer.
No questions, just commentary.
Just commentary. I think that's two in a row where our letter's been more commentary. If you've got a letter for us, send those to joe@stackingbenjamins.com. And if you're somebody that's looking to get your plan in order, OG is taking on clients. So guess what? He's got time slots reserved for you. Head to stackybenjamins.com/OG, the letters OG, to schedule time on his calendar. How long is that consultation they're scheduling?
53 minutes.
You have to have time for commercial breaks? Hold on.
No, it's funny. Everybody who's, I say the same thing to everybody, and it's a joke to me until they're a client for a few meetings. I always say, oh, I think this will probably be a half hour, 45 minutes. And then we get talking and it ends up being an hour, right, hour and 15 or something like that. And then we have our second meeting, our data gathering meeting. And I said the same thing, like, well, this is just data. It should probably only take us about 30 minutes or so. And invariably, it ends up being almost exactly right on the dot, about an hour. So
about an hour. Yeah. StackyBenjamins.com/OG for that. Thanks, everybody, too, who has referred a friend to the show. I know that's the way people find podcasts. I'm in a couple of groups. One of them, Ryan Mickler's group, Order a Man. They're having a discussion about podcasts, and many people mentioned us. So thanks to people that mention us to friends, because that's the way we find podcasts. And thanks to everybody who's left us a review. Really nice review, OG, on the show on iTunes that I spotted just the other day that came to us from Running SLC. I think I must be Salt Lake City. Running Salt Lake City says, I really enjoy this podcast. It is really good info. Thanks. 5 stars. That's going on Mom's Fridge. So thanks to everybody who's done that. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. I'll see you back here next Monday, OG. Everybody else, you're coming back on Friday because we've got Len, Paula, and Greg back in the basement. And this really cool tech firm on the FreshBooks FinTech segment called Rhodey. I can't wait for you. We've been talking about making money on the side, OG. I love this idea. I'm not going to say anything else about it until Friday. You got to listen to the FreshBooks FinTech segment. But man, Rhodey is a cool little company, and I can't wait for you to hear about it. Everybody go stack some Benjamins. We'll see you later.
Well, looks like I got to carry the show again and tell everybody what you were supposed to have learned if you were actually able to pay attention to all of that. So what did we learn today? Well, lesson number one comes from Jill Schlesinger. Sure, it's important to know what's going on with your money, but the chatter about buying and selling all the time, leave that to people who want to part with their money in a hurry. Also, if you're a millennial, not all of your financial life is about managing what you have. Creating higher income levels is harder than ever before. And because of that, you'll want to spend time figuring out how to make more money and keep your head above water. But the big lesson, if you're ever in a foreign country and need help with your French, I'm fairly certain Devin Carroll is your guy. Special thanks to Jill Schlesinger from the new Better Off podcast for joining us today. You'll find her show wherever you listen to our podcast, and we'll have a link to Better Off on our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. Big thanks to Joe's mom for giving me some more time to pay my rent. She's such a good friend that she cut the overdue fee down to 150 bones. I love that woman. Join us Friday when Joe cranks up his dad's shortwave to talk to some of the top names in personal finance blogging and podcasting about three topics ripped from current financial publication headlines. This week, we're back with our original gang of contributors, Paula Pant from Afford Anything, Len Penzo from LenPenzo.com, and of course, it's Greg McFarlane from Control Your Cash and Investopedia. See you then.
Welcome to the after show, part of the show that doesn't exist. What happens in this part of the show stays in this part of the show. I can't believe you're drinking wine.
No, dude, it's
noon somewhere. You should have sent me a text that you were bringing, or at least brought enough for two. Could have brought enough for two. I got to tell you. So Cheryl got me for Christmas. She got me the Virgin Wine Club, which is like, you know, Virgin Records, Virgin Airlines, that group. And the initial package was like 15 bottles of wine. And we've opened maybe four of them with friends on three separate occasions. And man, they're all great. Like they're all these fantastic, cool, quirky wines I've never heard of. And they're good. We should get them as a sponsor. You think listening to Stacky Benjamins is fun? Listen to it with the Virgin Wine Club.
Yeah. Wait until we're three bottles of wine and it'll be fun.
After a couple of bottles of wine, you'll be asleep within 10 minutes of these guys talking. Right. Hey, we got tons of movies to talk about. And of course, we're getting close to, we already had the Golden Globe Awards. And I've seen some of the Golden Globe nominees. This was a Golden Globe nominee. Of course, the main actor, Casey Affleck, in this movie won the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Drama. And this movie was called Manchester by the Sea. Let's listen.
If you could take one guy to an island with you and you knew you'd be safe because he was the best man, he was going to keep you happy, if it was between me and your father, who would you take?
My daddy.
I didn't think you're wrong about that. Hello, this is Lee.
What happened to my brother? So that's Lee Lee Chandler.
I don't understand.
Which part are you having trouble with?
Well, I can't be his guardian.
Well, your brother provided for your nephew's upkeep. I think the idea was that you would relocate.
Relocate to where?
Well, if you look, it was my impression that you'd spent a lot of time here.
I swear. I'm just a backup.
Lee, nobody can appreciate what you've been through. And if you really feel you can't take this on, you know, that's your right.
So this movie, as you just heard, OG guy has a brother who has a kid, and brother passes away very early in the movie. But there's also something not right with the younger brother, Casey Affleck, and he really doesn't want to be. I mean, if you want to make this movie sound as boring as possible, you say this is a movie about estate planning gone wrong because the brother placed his brother as the guardian, and now he's the legal guardian for his nephew. And like you heard in that clip, he doesn't want to be the guardian, and you're finding out through the movie, you know, the whole first half of the movie, it's one of those movies where, you know, it's holding something behind its back, right? There's a fact they're holding behind your back that you don't know. And you don't find out the fact, even though you kind of know it's coming. About two thirds of the way through the movie, you kind of figure out what that fact is. Well, you don't figure it out. They tell you what happened and you figure out what's actually going on here and why, even though he seems to love his nephew very much, that he doesn't want to be his guardian. So Casey Affleck in this movie, Michelle Williams in this movie, Kyle Chandler is in this movie. Lucas Hedges plays the nephew, Kyle Chandler's son. Kyle Chandler plays his Casey Affleck's brother. Kyle Chandler, not really. It's funny. He's not a household name, but he's a household face. Like, you know, do you know who Kyle Chandler is?
Don't recognize the name.
You know, Friday Night Lights, the TV show, the dude that plays the.
Nah, I didn't watch the TV show.
Nope. All right. He's been on just about. How about Zero Dark Thirty? Did you see Zero Dark Thirty?
Long time ago, yeah.
He was the suit and tie guy that Jessica Chastain reports to. If you know who he is.
Nah.
But anyway.
I'm sure I'd remember the face, just like you said.
Dude's been on everything. So this movie obviously won a lot of accolades. Matt Damon supported the movie. Movie's done very well critically and has done well at the box office. This movie, for me, was the most depressing movie I've seen in a long, long time. And, you know, when I publish my list like I do every year, it's going to be near the top, but it's one of those movies that you expected would be at the top. And most people think that because of all the accolades it won, it should be at the top. And it's not going to be as close to the top as I would have expected. So the movie starts off depressing, and then it gets more depressing. And it starts off slow, and it stays slow. So I know there's a lot to like about the characters, but man, if you're not going in ready for just a gut punch that won't stop, you're going in with the wrong attitude to Manchester by the Sea. So I don't know that I can really recommend this movie like I do a lot of films. And I feel like I generally go see movies I'm going to like in the first place. So my reviews usually are pretty positive. Manchester by the Sea didn't do it for me.
How much stuff blows up?
Oh, it totally won't do it for you.
Are you saying that I'm incapable of a tearjerker movie?
No, I don't think that's the case at all, because I actually, well, I've seen some other movies lately that are not like what I would term to be OG movies that I think you would really like. If I didn't know you as well as I know you, I would say there's no way OG would like these movies. But there's a couple that we'll get to here shortly that I really think that you're going to like a lot. But Manchester by the Sea, thumb up a little bit. Thumb pretty sideways. Sideways to up a little bit, but not my favorite movie. The word overrated comes to mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but because I would
kind of like the Cleveland Browns.
Is there anybody who rates the Cleveland Browns high? Does anybody actually do that?
Maybe I'm mistaking what that means.
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns, I think, are pretty fairly rated. And that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. Yeah. All right. We'll see everybody next time.